You are a mother. Would you please stand? We would like to honor you this morning. Would you stand, please? Stand, would you? If you just remain standing just for a moment, because we want you to know how much we appreciate you. You realize that none of us would be here without you, and that's how important you are, and it is an honor to be a mother. Now, I know in a world today that tries to make us all same, that is becoming fuzzed out, that there is a distinction between men and women, and it is honorable to be a mother. It is an honorable thing. Women, God's made you to be women, and that's a good thing. You could never be a man, so don't act like a man. Don't try to be a man. For one, you can't think that slow. And God has made you to be a woman, which is a beautiful thing. And if He's blessed you to be a mother, that is an honorable thing. And we love you and we cherish you. And we want to say thank you for all that you have done and still do to this day. Let's pray for our mothers. Father, we pray blessing over all of our mothers today. And we just want to say thank you for giving us this precious gift of motherhood. And Lord, how the world would be different if it wasn't for women to nurture and raise children. And Lord, especially those who know you and love you, to have the godly mothers that impact families and generations for years to come. Thank you, Lord, for those who are here today. May you shed your blessing on them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, just remain standing, and everybody else stand with them as we stand to honor the reading of God's Word. And we're going to read out of Deuteronomy 5:16, the video referenced Exodus, but it's also in Deuteronomy 5:16. It says, you all read this together, "Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you will speak to us today. And Lord, in the middle of the commandments of the honor, may we learn what that means, and may we see examples of that in Scripture, and may we apply it to our lives. And today, Lord, may we honor you, may we honor our mothers, may we honor our fathers, may we honor those around us for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And we are going to look at an aspect of motherhood that we see that this honor your father and mother, that it has been stated in many different theologians, also even some Christian sociologists as well, the importance of the father and the mother in the homes, and the importance of that honor, that when a nation does not honor the aged or the parental authority, it's a very dangerous place to be. It is when nations forget the value of honoring of those who are in authority over their lives, and that as kids grow up, it's important that we instruct our kids that they are to honor their parents, right? And we're living in a time where you can flip on the television and you can see sitcoms and cartoons and whatever. And what picture do they paint of the family? That it's messed up, dysfunctional, crazy. The dad is a doofus and the mom is out there, she's nuts. And that the kids are the only ones that know what's going on. And it is time that we realize the importance of honor. In the Jewish tradition, honor was a huge thing. It was there were two ways that you gained honor, and it was you were either born into a family name that had status that brought honor. So if you were born with a position of authority, you would automatically receive honor. You'd automatically have that respect. And also there were ways that you could gain honor, and that was through doing deeds worthy of honor. And when we look at Scripture and we look at the New Testament and we read Matthew, okay, we're just going to I'm going to broad stroke some Scripture. We're going to look at specific verses, but I'm just going to paint broad strokes today. In Matthew chapter 1, Matthew begins with the genealogy of Jesus. And what Matthew is painting for us, he's painting for us that the Messiah is coming through an honorable bloodline. That Jesus is being traced back through, and his lineage is very noble. It's very honorable. It's through the King David. I mean, he's in the line of King David. He's in the line all the way through. It traces back, and very honorable. Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus, he's not the real father, right? Because Jesus' father is who? God. He is from nobility, and Joseph was a man of honor. Mary also, in Luke's gospel, we give the genealogy and we get it traced back, and we see that Mary's also in a line of honor. They're both in a line of honor. So they are not of extreme wealth, but they are of a lineage of honor. Joseph and Mary both are people of honor and integrity. They are people who love the Lord. They're the people who follow God. And we see that this principle, there's going to be two areas I want to talk about honor is. One, I want to talk about the importance of protecting the family name. Secondly, the way we honor is to obey the voice of God. Those two ways. We're going to protect the family name, and we are going to obey the voice of God. Now, protect the family name sounded like this to me when I was growing up, and maybe to you. Now, Grant, you're going on this field trip. Don't you act like a fool and make me and your daddy look silly. How many of y'all heard that? Don't disgrace the family name. I mean, don't do something foolish, you know. And then when I was youth leader at Fairview, I'd give them the little speech, you know. Kids, we're going on a youth trip. We're going to go ice skating. Don't you go out there and do something stupid and disgrace the name of the church. Right? And your mom. And then the final one, and the Lord. Right? Right? Which is very true. Don't go out there, guys, and act silly. Let's bring honor, okay? Don't go out there and shame the name. Don't shame the name, right? And I think we've lost that a lot in our society. What do you think? I think we've got this attitude now. You know, I came from, I don't know what generation name that I fall in. I kind of skip the, I'm kind of stuck in the middle between the Gen Xers and the, I forget what the other one was. But I was kind of stuck in a category where those who study this kind of stuff said that this generation, the main characteristic of them is they just don't care about anything. Just don't care. Apathetic. And I think that we're raising a generation that we have no honor anymore about respecting and bringing honor to the family name. I don't care. I'm just going to do what I want to do. Who cares what people think of me? I don't care what people think of me. And to some extent, you should. Right? Because your name means something. Your name means something. It is important to have a family name that you can be proud of. Now, some of you have got some family names where you're not proud of, and you're trying to change it, right? Some of you have a last name where people are like, oh, that's the so-and-sos. Those people. You know, they're this, and this. And now you have been encountering Jesus, and you're trying to change your family name. You're trying to change it for a good direction. You don't want your kids growing up to where they say, oh, that's so-and-so, the last names. Well, you know what they are all about. So your name's important. Do you agree? Joseph had he was honorable. Mary was honorable. Joseph was honorable. I'll prove it to you in Matthew chapter 1. Joseph is betrothed to Mary. This is an engagement. It's a little more intense than just our engagement. It's pretty much they're already kind of married. There's already a contract being made. But at the same time, during their betrothal, they didn't live together. Hello. This may become politically incorrect message. They didn't shack up and live together. Well, we love each other. Well, so did Mary and Joseph. But they didn't live together. They weren't married yet. They were betrothed, which was even more intense than our engagement. But they still honored God. Okay? Marriage is one man, one woman together in holy matrimony. It doesn't matter what we vote on. Doesn't matter what laws we pass. God's word trumps man's laws. Okay? And I think we need to honor marriage, motherhood, and fatherhood. Now, Joseph was betrothed to Mary, and an angel came. Well, let me just read it. Here we go. Let me go to Matthew, and I don't have this on the screen. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ, this is Matthew 1:18, was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. She was found to be with child. So word got to Joseph. Mary had, I don't know how this conversation went, but she had to break the news that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Now, guys, let me ask you something. Your lady come up to you and say, now, I got some news to tell you. Breathe. I'm pregnant. But it's not what you think. It's not what you think. It's by the Holy Spirit. How many of y'all would be like, oh, okay, woo. No. How many of you would be like, who is this Holy Spirit? I need to know who this Holy Spirit is. I don't care what his name is. I got to meet this guy. Now, here's what Joseph did. Now, watch what you said. And Joseph, this is verse 19, and Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man. Okay, he's a man of honor. Being a righteous man. And not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. Can I tell you the beauty right there in this act of Joseph? He was a man of honor. He wanted to protect the family name. Not only did he want to protect his name, and the family name of him, but he also cared enough about Mary to protect her dignity and her name as well. You see, Joseph wasn't one of these guys that would have gotten on his Facebook and said, well, I tell you what, the lady that I was betrothed to, here's what she did, blah, 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 blah. Because he had more honor and integrity than that. Because he loved Mary. And he wasn't going to do anything that brought shame to her. He wasn't going to display for the public her flaws. He wasn't going to try to shame Mary out in the public. He had an honorable way to deal with this that would bring honor to his family name, but also to her family name. Because he realized the value of honor, of what it means to honor someone. What happens when you find offense with someone? Do you still protect their integrity? Because here's what we like to do a lot of times. We like to make someone look bad so that we look what? Good. That wasn't Joseph. That wasn't his style. Why? Because he had more character than that. He had integrity. He was honorable. Mary, she was a woman of integrity as well. She was a lady, I mean, think about this, to be chosen to be the mother of the Savior of the world. I mean, special. She was a young girl who had a heart for God, who loved God. And when the Lord appeared to her, it blew her away. You can find this in Luke chapter 1. Jesus' birth is foretold, and an angel appears to Mary and says, you're going to have a child. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you're going to receive a child. He's going to be Savior of the world. You're going to name him Jesus. And Mary's blown away. She's like, how's this going to happen? I'm a virgin. How am I going to be pregnant? This is crazy. The angel keeps dialoguing with Mary and says, hey, Elizabeth's going to be pregnant, and there's going to be a baby that's going to be a forerunner, and all things are possible with God. And with God, nothing is impossible. Now look at her response, verse 38. This is Mary's response. And Mary said, behold the bond slave of the Lord. She puts herself in a humble position. She says, I'm just a bond slave. Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. I will do whatever you want me to do. Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me, what? According to your word. And the angel departed from her. What was her willingness there? She says, may it be done to me according to your word. Now, when we talk about honor, when we bring honor to God, honor to our name, honor to one another, talk about two ways to do that. One is to protect the family name, and secondly, to obey the voice of God. To obey the voice of God. Mary was a woman, a young woman at this time, in her teenage years, that when God came to her with something that seemed so unbelievable, her bottom line answer was, Lord, I recognize that I am just a bond slave. I am willing to do whatever you want me to do. And whatever it is that you have for me, I'll do it. Man, what a great attitude to have. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. When you speak to me, when you lead me, when I read your word and I hear what you want me to do, I'll do it. When you bring something or point something out in my life that I need to correct, I will do it. When you lead me to go this direction, I will do it. Lord, I'm just a bond slave. I'm just your servant. Whatever you want from me, I'll do it. That's a good kind of attitude to have. What do you think? Lord, what you want from me, I will do it. They knew to honor God. Well, Joseph has an encounter with the angel, and he's convinced that this is the real thing, and that God is in it. They are married. They have the baby Jesus. And what do Joseph and Mary do? They continually bring honor to their name, and they obey the voice of God. In Luke chapter 2, we have Jesus. He's his birth in Bethlehem. We know that story. We hear that around Christmas time, right, every year. And we know how that goes. And the shepherds are there, and the angels show up, and all these things. And then something happens in verse 21 of chapter 2 that they bring Jesus to the temple to be circumcised, because Joseph and Mary, what faith are they? Jewish. And so on the eighth day, they were to bring the firstborn son, because the firstborn is holy unto the Lord. And so they bring the firstborn son. He is circumcised. This is the covenant sign that God made with Abraham. I'll re-preach the divine drama one more time. We'll get that. Abraham, you remember that man named Abraham we talked about a few weeks ago? That was the covenant sign. So Jesus is born, and he is born under the law. What's this telling us? This is telling us that Mary and Joseph are faithful followers of the Lord. They are following what they're supposed to do. And then on the 40th day, they present him to the temple, and they bring the sacrifices. Now, they didn't bring a lamb, which we were supposed to bring a lamb. If you did not have wealth, you could bring two turtle doves or a pigeon for the sacrifice, for the cleansing. This was for Mary's purification, and that they bring this, present this to the Lord. All this was what was commanded unto them by Holy Scripture. They were mom and dad who were obeying the voice of God, who were raising their son up in the ways of God. Can I just stop for a moment? And can I tell you, especially those mothers who have some kids that's still in your household, the greatest thing that you can do is to bring your kids up to follow the voice of God. You know, you just don't want to send them to church. You want to go to church with them. You don't want to just tell them they need to pray. You need to be praying with them. They don't need to be just hearing you what you're supposed to do, but they need to be seeing you doing what you're supposed to do. Can I tell you that as a mom, one of the greatest things that you can do is to instill the voice of God and the love for His Word and the obedience to Him in your children? Dad, same thing. Mary and Joseph both are raising Jesus in the ways of God. The parents here that you bring your kids to church and you get them involved in children's church and you bring them out on Wednesday nights and you pour into them the things of God, can I tell you, you're setting yourself up for a great name for your family. You're setting yourself up for your kids to learn to obey the voice of God. If we want to bring honor to those around us and we want to bring honor to our family name, follow the voice of God. You want to change your family name? Follow the voice of God. You want to keep a good family name? Follow the voice of God. Does that make sense? Mary and Joseph bringing Jesus up in the ways of God. They did this. And an incident happened when Jesus was 12 years old. They're out there going once a year to the temple, doing their doing what the law told them to do. And they go out, and they're in a big caravan. They're doing this whole family worship time. And about a day's journey, they wander around. And then I guess Mary finally, I don't know if Joseph would have ever asked, you know. Mary, that mother instinct kicks in and says, where's Jesus? We can't find Jesus. Now, that's a bad deal when you lose Jesus, right? Oh, no, we lost Jesus. We're like, where is Jesus? And I'm sure Joseph was like, well, I thought he was with you, right? I mean, I'm trying to fix my lineup in my fantasy baseball team. I don't know what you're doing. I thought he was with you. So they go back to the temple. And the Bible tells us that Jesus was sitting as a 12-year-old boy, sitting among the elders there. He's engaging them, and he's asking questions, and he's astounding people. And they're like, Jesus, where have you been? You know, we've been looking all over for you. And Jesus says, do you not know that I'm supposed to be about my Father's business? See, you know, at 12 years old, Jesus was aware of who he was. Some of these movies that they show about Jesus' life, like he had some type of identity crisis that he didn't know who he was, wrong. But here's the amazing thing about Jesus. Now, kids, here's where it comes to us, and even those of us who still have parents, and we're older, but we still got parents. I want you to read what Jesus did at that moment. I think I've got that on the screen. And he went down, this is verse 51, Luke chapter 2, verse 51. And he went down with them, and he came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother kept these things in her heart. He continued in subjection to them. Jesus submitted himself to the honor thy father and mother. Kids, let me tell you something. Honor your parents. Honor, if you're blessed to have a mom and dad and they're raising you, bring honor to them. Now, you know, sometimes, you know, I've heard, and I pray for you parents who have teenagers. Because I've heard once they start getting teenagers, they go crazy. And so my kids are 10 and 6 right now, and I'm loving this age, and I'm dreading the years to come. I'm thinking, oh, gosh. Because I hear they start thinking like they know everything. Is that true? And like they just are so smart. Like, you know, like, well, who are you? You know, I'm just, you know, the one who gave you birth. You know? You know, if there's anybody that could have kind of been smart to their parents and out-trumped them, it would have been Jesus, right? Mary and Joseph come and say, where have you been? Hey, I need to be about my father's business. I don't know what your problem is, you know. But he didn't. He brought honor to his parents. We are to bring honor to our moms and dads. Kids, honor your parents. Don't talk back to them. Don't smart off. When they give you a curfew, you come in 5 to 10 minutes before curfew. Well, parents, I don't know, man. That was weak. That should have been a whole hearty amen right there from all the parents of teenagers. Amen. You listening to him? When you come in past curfew, you disrespect your parents. It's dishonorable. When you talk back, you disrespect your parents. It's dishonorable. You don't honor them. Honor your father and your mother. You hearing me? All right, since you're still out there. Jesus, he honors his parents, and so he's living and he's growing up. He learns the trade of his father. He's a carpenter. Jesus learns the art of carpentry, okay, and the skill. After this incident of Jesus' life when he's 12 years old, we don't have any record of Joseph any longer. From this moment up through the cross, we have never, we don't hear of Joseph. And sometime between that time and Jesus' death, Joseph dies. We don't know how, we don't know when exactly that is. But Jesus is the oldest son. And we don't know if it was when he was 15 that his father dies, or 16 when his father dies, or 20. We don't know. But we do know that there was probably a time when Jesus then becomes pretty much the caretaker of the family. And the one who is watching and caring for his mother. And so because he's a carpenter, up until he's around the age of 30, until he goes into his ministry and launches his ministry, which is only 3 years. So the majority of Jesus' life, he's working as a carpenter, and he is being a son and a follower of his father, God, going to worship, praying, and just being the light to a dark world, but hasn't launched his full ministry yet. What's he doing? He's caring for and loving, and he's honoring his father and mother. And even if his father is now dead, he's honoring his father in the name by bringing honor to his widowed mother. You know, we're never too old to honor our moms. You know, if your mom's still living, honor her. If that's, you just honor her. There's an encounter when Jesus begins his ministry. This is in John chapter 2. And Jesus begins his ministry and he takes his disciples and his mother's with him. And they're at a wedding feast. They're having a wedding. They're at a wedding. And when they're at this wedding, it tells us that the celebration, that they ran out of wine. Now, all you Baptist people, don't let this get you crazy here. You know, wine. Here we go. And Mary comes up and says, when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Look at the next verse. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour is not yet come. You know, he's politely and respectfully saying, you know, okay, mom, you can't push my time ahead of when it's supposed to, because ultimately I have to obey the voice of God. And so I've got to make sure that when I launch this thing and when my time has come, it's on the Father's timetable. Not yours, and not anybody else, and not these disciples, not my family, not nobody. But here's what Jesus said. His mother says to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. All right. Now, this is a mama that has full confidence in her son, right? He says, whatever he says, do it. Go ahead and do it. Now, there were 6 stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. And Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And so they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out. Now take it to the head waiter. So they took it to him. And when the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, he did not know where it came from. But the servants who had drawn the water knew. The head waiter called the bridegroom and said to everyone, every man serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poor wine, but you have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And after this, he went down to Capernaum, and he and his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there a few days. Jesus does a miraculous miracle, and this is the first sign of the disciples, when they're amazed. Who's there with him? His mother. We could read through the pages of Scripture, and there are times when we see evidence that maybe his mother was right there with him, and part of what was going on, maybe there are times when she wasn't. There's definitely times when she had access to where Jesus was. And all through that time, she is witnessing her son proclaiming the good news of the gospel. All the while, wandering through her mind, the words of the angel that spoke to her from the very beginning. You shall call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. Wonder how many moments Mary was just astounded and wondered and asked. My son. Jesus, upon his death, as that video said, brought high honor to his mom. We don't know how exactly it all went down. We have evidence. We know that there was trials and there were things that were going on. We know Jesus was beaten. We know that he was brought before Pilate, and there was an audience, and they were asking, who shall we release? And was, you know, I'm sure Mary was following and witnessing in all of this, and seeing, as a mother, seeing her son begin to be turned over and the people turn on him, and the beating that she saw him take, and the blood and the horrible crucifixion in John chapter 19 that we come to. And Mary is there with her son. And we're brought to the moments of Jesus' death in John chapter 19, verse 26. Who do we see at the foot of the cross? his mother. We see his mother, we see Mary, and we see the beloved disciple John. And as this mother of Jesus, who is witnessing the execution of her son, who probably at this point had been beaten to the point that he was unrecognizable. His face would have been swollen from the beatings. His flesh would have been ripped off from back to probably the back of his knees. Blood would be pouring over him. His face would be covered with blood. He would be swollen. His ribs were probably visible from the flesh being ripped off of his body. But this Jesus, who was the Savior of the world, who took on our sin, looked upon his mother, and in his last words was able to speak life and love and care and honor for her. And when Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, which was John, standing nearby, he says to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he says to the disciple, "Behold your mother." Saying, "Mom, John will take care of you. I'm about to die. I love you. He will care for you." Wow. "John, this is your mom. This is my mom. I love her. You take care of her." Man. What greater love, what greater honor does a son show to his mother and protect the name of his family, that brings honor to his whole family name, that he in his moment of death is bringing honor to his mom who he loves, making sure that she is taken care of and that she is made well, protected. Wow. You see, when you honor someone, you protect them, care for them, and watch out for them. Just like Joseph didn't dishonor Mary when they were betrothed, Jesus honors his mother at his death. All through his life, he took care of his mom. I'm glad that the story doesn't end at the cross, aren't you? Because he rose again. And he appears to his disciples. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, we have a tremendous picture here that I don't want you to miss, because Mary was a woman who loved the Lord. Mary is not to be worshipped, because Mary worships at the foot of Jesus. She is a bond slave like you, like me. She is a follower of him. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, they were all in the upper room, it tells us, and these all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of who? Jesus was with his brothers. Jesus had to send, and he said, "Man, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. You wait until the Holy Spirit falls on you." And so the disciples and the followers of Jesus, they went to the upper room, and who was there praying for the movement of God to fall out? His mother. His mother. And Jesus on that mighty day when the Holy Spirit ushers in, moves on them. And they begin a church that is unstoppable. Mary was part of that movement that recognized that Jesus Christ is Lord and King of Kings. Worship Him. Worship Him. In Luke 11:27, while Jesus was saying these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to Him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which you nursed." But He says, on the contrary, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." Jesus wants you to know one thing. He is the King. He is the Lord. How do we bring honor to our mothers and for our fathers and each other? We protect the family name. We don't bring disgrace or shame. We obey the voice of God. Christian, today we need to live honorably. How do we live honorably? We protect the family name. Do you realize as a church, we got to protect the family name? You know, the church has a bad enough reputation, we don't need to make it even worse. Y'all realize that a lot of lost people have a negative view of the church. You aware of that? So don't make it worse. Live right before God. Live humbly before God. Okay? Don't disgrace the name. Obey the voice of God. If we're a church that lives honorably, we will be a bright light for a lost world. You realize that? If we live a life with honor, and if we honor one another, and we honor our parents, and we honor those who are wise and those who are in our leadership, we honor our grandparents, we bring honor to people, it brings blessing. So today, as we honor our mother, that we never forget that we're to honor God, we're to honor our family, and we're to honor our church family and our brothers and sisters in Christ. What do you say? Can we do that? Let's pray.